Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm getting an update from Capella Minerals, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol CMIL and on the OTCQB under the symbol CMILF. I am chatting with the president and CEO, Eric Roth. Now, Capella Minerals focused on base and battery metals exploration in Europe. A major focus this year is going to be in Norway and Finland at the company's projects. I know the overall goal this year is to drill 4 different properties. We'll get into what still needs to happen to get drills on the ground at those projects. But first, let's recap the January 23rd news release that announces that Capella is initiating the first of these drill programs, the scout drilling at the Sholi Copper Cobalt Project in Norway. Now, Eric, this initial program is estimated to be 1,250 meters. You're testing out, it looks like, 3 different areas here. Eric, give us a high-level overview of what you're hoping to find, what you're even testing for at the Sholi Project.
Yeah, thanks, Corey. Look, as you mentioned, we did provide that update on January 23rd. So we have kicked off drilling. This is the first of our drill programs in what we call this northern Rorus part of the country in Norway. Now, basically at Sholi, so this for listeners who have been following the story, would probably remember that this is, of course, one of the old mining districts in Norway. The Sholi property had 2 former mines on it, one of which was called Sholi, the other one which was called Killingdal, and these are massive sulfide type systems. So basically what we see in the property is a number of these VMS type deposits, these massive sulfide type deposits. Historically, they were mined for copper and zinc, but the most recent work that we have done suggests there's also some good cobalt byproduct numbers in those assays as well. But what we are doing at this stage of the game, and again, keeping in mind that the Sholi district is part of what we call our sort of Hesjegruve, Kongensgruve, Sholi district, and I don't want to confuse people with the names. It can get a little bit confusing here. But the Sholi project is about 20 kilometers northeast of our advanced exploration stage Hesjegruve project. We did put a technical report out on that, and the idea, as we mentioned before, is to get that one into an NI 43-101 compliant resource as quickly as possible. This Sholi project is about 20 kilometers to the northeast. As we've talked about previously, we had 4 main target areas. What we are doing with this round of drilling is just really scout testing some concepts, in the sense of we have the main Sholi mine trend, where we have occurrences of massive sulfides along trend from the old Sholi mine. And we also have a second target, which I'm very keen on, which is called Sholi Deeps. And this is actually a target that's come out of geophysical work, where we have a combination of an electromagnetic and gravity anomaly. And I should just make a sidestep here and say that those are sort of the key ingredients for buried massive sulfide deposits. So we plan to test that as well, too. So the idea with Sholi is basically to test both a long strike from the old mines, the old Sholi mine particularly, and also this Sholi Deeps target, which, you know, to us, it looks like a lens that's sitting underneath the old Sholi mine and was never drill tested previously. So we're pretty excited. I think it's, you know, there's some great targets there to test. And of course, keeping in mind that in the context of, you know, we are looking at this sort of hub and spoke type model, where we have the advanced stage Hesjegruve project, we have Kongensgruve next door, and Sholi in that area as well, too. So the idea, of course, is that we are looking to add resources within that sort of radius in terms of these massive sulfide deposits. And the other thing to keep in mind, Corey, is, of course, that the old deposits, these are very high-grade copper, so we're talking about 2%+ copper. The zinc was also very high, often 2% as well, and the cobalt numbers we're getting are sort of that 0.1% range as well. So, and of course, historically, they never, ever considered the cobalt, because when the mine stopped 50 years ago, cobalt wasn't something they were really looking at. So I think it's an exciting program. It's really the first cab off the rank, as you mentioned. We are looking at... we are in the permitting phase for 3 other projects, which of course is, there's 2 more in Norway and 1 in Finland. So it's an exciting year coming up, and as you know, It's really the drill results that tend to get the momentum going in terms of pushing the projects forward.
So, Eric, in terms of this program that's just started up at Sholey, how many holes do you think you'll get in that 1,250-meter program? And what are you expecting the turnaround times to be to get those results?
Yeah, so in terms of numbers of holes, so the Sholey Deeps holes will be deeper than the others. So they're typically 200-300-meter holes. So probably we're only looking at two holes to test the Sholey Deeps concept. And the others are all sort of 150-meter type holes. So really what we're looking at potentially is something of the order of, let's say, 8 to 10 holes. The idea really is, and of course, it obviously depends on the depth at which we take the holes to. But as I mentioned, this is really a proving the concept and showing that we do have this high-grade mineralization in the areas that we think we see it. So we're probably looking at about plus or minus 8 holes in that 1,250 meters. And then, of course, based on those results, we'll then make the recommendations for the next steps. The results, look, I understand there's still quite a backlog with the labs here in Scandinavia and Europe in general. So we're probably looking at, realistically, I think, 2 months before we get results back. But if we're lucky, hopefully we have some in hand for PDAC in Toronto.
Okay, let's talk about some of the other projects then, and the general time frame that you're planning on hoping to at least get some drills on the ground past this Sholey project. What is the pecking order? Where will you be going with the drills?
Yeah, so it's a good question, Corey, and the main reason for starting at Sholey was simply that it's best to drill this one during the winter when the ground is frozen. So that was one of the main considerations when we planned to do Sholey first. We have two other targets within the Norwegian copper cobalt project as well, which are basically ready to go. One is the Hesjegruver project, which I had mentioned. That is something that we're looking to add some more drilling to, some holes to come late spring or summer. There it's fairly easy to operate in the summer. And the second one is in the Lochen district. We also put a press release out just before Christmas on the targeting that we had done in the Lochen district. And we have a target there called Omot, which is basically ready to go. It's a buried massive sulfide system. It has the scale. It looks very interesting. And we're looking forward to getting some holes in that as well, too. So, and again, that's sort of looking at maybe late Q2, Q3, just over that sort of spring, summer period is would be ideal for those two. Then, of course, in parallel, we are one of the targets that I also really like in Finland is up in that the Central Lapland Greenstone Belt. It's up in our Arkanus project. For listeners who have been following the story, we have within that a target called Kielero, which was an old Anglo-American target. It was generated over a decade ago, never drilled, and that's something that we're really looking forward to getting some drill holes into. Now, that is just in the permitting process at the moment. Now, in the case of the Finnish asset, that's the best time to drill there is also the winter. I think we're going to be tight for getting the drill permits in time for the end of this winter. So we're probably looking at later in the year, sort of come November, December, potentially to kick off there. But, we've got a great program for the year, and I'm really looking forward to getting these permits all through. And so far, we've had absolutely no issues. Everything's gone very, very smoothly with getting permits.
So in total, how many meters would you like to drill at all four of these projects this year?
Yeah, so we're probably looking at about 10,000 meters in total between the four. But I think that'll give us a very good start. Of course, in the case of Hesjegruver, it will just be a combination of a couple of infill holes and also some step-out holes to help us with that resource model. And with the others, it is more scout-type drilling in terms of looking for the targets, identifying the targets, and then vectoring into where we feel the best grade mineralization is. But I think between the four projects, Corey, we'd probably be looking at the order of 10,000 meters or so.
All right, let's talk about funding then. Where does the company stand? What is funded? What's your strategy for funding? What money you don't have for the future programs?
Yeah, so that's obviously a good question too, Corey. So obviously the drilling we are doing now at Sholey, that's covered with, we did actually do a financing back in October. That did put some money into treasury, and that was on the back of acquiring some lithium assets in Finland. So the plan going forward is the following, is that we have basically three sources of potential funding for these projects, and that's not including a financing. I'll leave a financing aside for the moment. You know, we have always sort of intimated to the market that we are looking at the sale of some of our non-core assets, and one of the assets that I would probably include in there right now is the Domain project in Manitoba. I think it's a fantastic project, but it is something that we're not getting any value for within the portfolio. So we do have potentially some non-core assets that we could monetize as we go forward. We also have quite a few warrants that are not too far out of the money. So some good results anywhere could also get the share price up. But we basically have a lot of warrants at 12 cents. If all those warrants were to be exercised, actually some options and warrants, I mean, that could potentially bring up to $9 million Canadian into treasury. That's if they're exercised. And then, of course, the third thing, too, is potentially JVs on select projects. And that is one thing that we're looking at as well, too, is that there are, you know, within the port, because we have a large portfolio, one of the options is to look at JVing some of the properties. So basically, what I can say is that we are looking at all the alternatives to take these forward in the most cost-effective way for the company. And just I did forget to mention on the drilling side of things too, Corey, that of course in parallel we have the Savant Gold Project in Ontario, which is being funded by our JV partner Prospector Metals. And that we also expect to get drilled during the year as well, too. And of course, but we don't need to contribute to the funding on that. But that's extra news flow as well, too, for Capella.
Okay. Eric, I think that brings us up to speed here. You're planning on a number of different drill programs starting up. Some of them will start up more in the second half of the year, it sounds like. If anybody has any follow-up questions for Eric, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. I'm happy to get any of your questions on any of the assets or projects that the company holds in their portfolio answered for you, and we will follow up as more news hits the market, especially any drill results. Eric, thank you for your time, and please keep me up to date on future news.
Thanks, Corey, and look forward to keeping everybody updated on our activities during the year.